Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, langadek. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Saudi Arabia. Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all. Join us live on the on-air radio network. Call 727-731-5192. We want to talk to you. And Grand Rising, thank you all for joining us on this edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. And we'll be right back after this brief break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just one moment. So stay with us.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hey.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif. If you were paying attention earlier, you saw we had yesterday's title on. Every Wednesday, we are so excited to be a part of the Betty Shabazz International Charter School and teaching them podcasting. And one of the reasons why we are teaching this skill is because the world is changing. The way we do business is changing. The way we communicate. And if you are not tech savvy, you're going to find yourself left behind. You're going to find yourself worrying about AI and robotics and whether or not your job is going to be there or are you going to be able to get a decent minimum wage. You're going to find yourself worrying about all those things that are obsolete because we are now in a new economy. You need to keep up with the reality of these times. That old model of the employer and employee and the industrial revolution model that we all grew up with, that does no longer exist. It is fading out. And you need to be aware of the changes. Our children in public schools are being prepared for an economy that will not exist when they become adults. And they're being urged to go into debt to get a college degree that won't be relevant when it comes to what kind of skills they can provide and what kind of creativity they have to develop something that's going to benefit the society. The old structure is gone. And the tradition of the factory job is disappearing because those mundane tasks that people used to do are being replaced by robotics. And that's not a bad thing, because it actually gives people more leisure time. And it also gives us an opportunity to create other things that are beneficial rather than people having to drudgingly go to a 9-to-5 job that they hate to do some little menial task. And then if the factory decides to close down or something else changes in the technology that makes that thing they're creating obsolete, then suddenly they have no job and no means of sustaining themselves. How many ghettos, how many slums, how many dilapidated neighborhoods do we see across the nation because factory work left the city and went abroad, or people's jobs were replaced by machines? We need not fear progress. We need to understand that the process of buying and selling has changed. People still need things. They still need to interact. They still need the comforts of home and to eat food. They still want to wear clothing. They still need transportation. They still need things. But the way they acquire them is different. The way we buy and sell is different. So the things we're holding on to are things that are disappearing. And what is reappearing, what is now appearing, what is being created is a new economy. So today, we're going to shop with Zoe. We're going to introduce a product that's real simple, something that every family needs if you've got plumbing, but we also want to get you ready for a new economy and to understand that people who create products that make convenient or easy or more relaxing or whatever it is they create, if that's what they do, then all they need is someone to sell the product, and that's where the new economy is being created. People who distribute, people who sell, people who market, people who get the product into the hands of other people so they can be used. And those are the people who are sustaining themselves because their income is not based on 9-to-5 drudgery. Their income is based on their interaction with people. Their income is based on the people that they provide the product to.
and who pay them because they need the product. Sales is not difficult. You're giving people what they need, and they're paying you because that's the means of exchange that we have agreed upon. But what we're creating now will eliminate all the things that have kept us at a state of conflict. People aren't buying from me because they're prejudiced. People aren't giving me a job because they're racist. Or people aren't going to let me make any money because they don't like how I look. None of those things matter because so much buying and selling online, you don't know who these people are. You're not buying a face, a color, a gender, or any of those things. An age, a sex, a body type. You're buying a product that you need, and you don't care anything about the person supplying it to you. So these things that we fear and we're brainwashing our children to think that they have these limitations, why are we doing that? The world has changed. Buying and selling online, sometimes in stores. But the creator of a product and the seller of a product, most of the time it doesn't even matter. You just want the product. Today we're going to show you a nice little gadget that can really help clean your toilet. The toilet blaster, great. And, of course, you want to save some money on plumbing. You want to be able to keep that toilet flushing. It's a handy-dandy device. And you don't care who manufactured it. You don't care who owns the website that you ordered from. You don't care. You just want your toilet to work if it gets stopped without you having to pay $400 to a plumber to come and unstop it. That's all you want. Something to make your life easier. And that's what the economy is about today, making your life easier. And it doesn't matter who creates the product. It doesn't matter what their gender is. It doesn't matter what their age is. It doesn't matter what color their skin is. It doesn't matter what language they speak. It doesn't matter what country they live in. You just want the product that's going to make your life easier. And that's the new economy. So all of these teaching our children, well, you have to wear your hair like this, or you have to wear these kind of clothes. Well, you have to make sure that you put this kind of makeup on your face. Well, you have to make sure that you live at this particular address. Well, you have to drive this kind of car so that you can be acceptable to an employer. You have to put your resume on this color paper, and you have to use this kind of font to type in your resume, and this is how you have to list all your job skills. All that is obsolete. I'm sorry. It is. So we have our children stressing about things that don't matter anymore. The new economy doesn't have anything to do with who you are. It's what can you create that makes my life better, and how can you get it to me? The people who create it get paid, because the people who sell it get it to the people who need it. And your identity doesn't matter because so much of it is done online. So let's erase those old concepts that keep us in a state of fear that other people are going to keep us from surviving. No one can keep you from surviving. If you use your intelligence and your creative skills, you will always live in abundance. That's how the world is. And so we want you to call in 515-605-9325 or 727-731-5192, because we want to hear from you. Do you have ideas that you're ready to get to the marketplace? What things do you need to overcome in your own mind? Anger over racism? Are you stuck on fear that you're not going to get that low-paying job? Are you afraid that someone else is going to come and take away that unskilled labor that you didn't want anyway? Are you stuck on immigrants that might get hired because they speak two languages and you don't? Are you stuck there? Or are you ready to free your mind and think, what do people need and how can I create it so that they have it? And how do I sell it or find someone to sell it so that I can get paid? That's the new economy. Are you ready? Well, we're going to be talking to our host, Zoe Ma, in just a moment. And we're excited because we have a chance to open your mind. This is what we do. We have a chance to change your thoughts so that you can stop seeing yourself as helpless and at the mercy of other people's benevolence. You are powerful, and you receive inspiration, things you can create. You receive that. Now, do you listen? Do you create the things that are given to you to create? Or do you talk yourself out of it and keep talking about other people won't let you do things? Are you listening to the voices of your unseen spiritual guides that are letting you know that you came here for a purpose, to help life to become better? And they're giving you inspirations to create and develop the ideas. Are you stuck on blaming someone else for not giving you a job? Or are you willing to listen to the voice of inspiration that's telling you how to create your own? Well, let's go to our phone line and talk to you. Because as always, we know that our listeners and viewers are intelligent and creative and powerful beyond measure. So what are you willing to create today? And we want you to listen to what you say. Are you willing to take responsibility for your own future, or are you stuck on blaming someone else for not letting you do something? You want to remove the barriers to your success today. And we here at the Female Solution have provided a platform for you to sell things right on our products page. So we're going to open it up for the entrepreneur in you. Tell us what it is you'd like to provide that will make life better for others. And we've signed up some more prosperity partners too, those who are going to help distribute your product so they can get paid and you can get paid and everybody can prosper. That's the new economy, and you can be a part of it. So let's go to our phone line, and let me open the mic for 319-457. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments or questions today.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Koofy.
Well, it's a great morning, isn't it? Yes, Koofy, thank you for joining us from Chicago. Yes.
Sound like you had a run this morning. Sound like you ran 3 miles.
Yeah, I'm energized today. I finally got a decent night's sleep. So now I have a bit of energy I can share and hopefully help inspire some others.
You know, I wanted
so
to.
So you're a man with a plan.
Well, I'm a businessman. I've been a businessman for over 30 years. I run the business. Really helped me obtain peace and satisfaction in life, and not trying to compete against anyone but myself. A lot of times when you're in the workplace, you start competing against others or whatever. But, you know, owning the business, or I think everyone, even if you're employed, you should have a side business. Because that helps.
I would definitely advocate that, because even if you are employed, you always want to have something that you control so that you never feel like you're at the mercy of other people. And this is a critical thing, because all a job is someone paying you to either help produce or help to sell something that they created. So you can create your own and sell your own product. So before we bring in tell us about some of the services that you have sold as an independent businessman.
My time, my service. I'm a little different. I'm not gonna say different, but I realize that when I provide a service, I'm actually providing my gifts. I'm providing an opportunity to be in my presence.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an ego, arrogant thing. So when I show up at a business and to do my work, whatever it is, I distribute products. I connect people with other people who need business, so I'm a liaison. But when people see me, they know something is going to go down. Something is going, the situation is going to be rectified. You know, I do trade company connections. I hooked up a Chinese company with an Italian company. Made a lot of money doing that. When I was in college, I learned how to connect people together. You know, if you needed a resource, I can go out and get that. So I'm not gonna tell you what I actually do, but I don't want anybody knowing that. But what I'm doing now, I'm gathering all of my family, and we're providing resources and things for ourselves. Because my ancestors, my great grandparents, they had a family farm. Back then, I don't know if you know, black folks had towns. They had family towns. You know, I have land down in Arkansas. We had a Laster Road with 20 children. They weren't trying to connect with everybody like we're trying to do now. We're trying to, come on, we need to get together. No, you need to get together with your family. That's what they were doing back then.
Sometimes family isn't always entrepreneurial. One family get together.
Then you can deal with your neighbor. Okay. Well, I had a family farm.
So let me ask you this: for people whose family just may not be entrepreneurial, maybe they, because that's a lot of people who have a vision of what they like to do and what they like to create and how they'd like to help their family develop a financial base. Sometimes the family has been conditioned to not believe that they have the power to do this. And so they'll say, well, I don't know nothing about that. I just need to get out there and get you a job with benefits. And I'm not knocking a job with benefits, but I'm saying sometimes that first entrepreneur in the family has a difficult time, because the family might not see the value in putting money behind an idea. Say if you wanted to open a store, or you wanted to develop a clothing line, or you wanted to develop a line of baked cookies or whatever it is, or you wanted to grow some collard greens in the yard or in the land you have, whatever it is you had in mind, and you could see a benefit of this, and you can see a business developing out of this. But what if your family doesn't share your vision? How do you then find people to be supportive? Because sometimes your blood family just doesn't see it. So what do you do?
My family sees it, because you could take a little girl and make lemonade. You could take a little girl and put on a corner and sell lemonade. You know, you look at your family and you say, what do you do? I have a cousin, she's 80 years old. She knits. Okay? She sews. So okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to bring you some of my, you know, clothes that need sold. You know what I mean? You have
well,
to,
you know that.
You have, to look at the gift of each person. It ain't that hard.
Yes.
You know, everybody's making everything hard. It ain't that hard. If you go out, my daughter told me the other day, she gave away clothes to her friends. I go, that's a business. You provided something.
Yes,
need. So it ain't that hard. If you have a business and you're making $5 a day, you're prospering. You just move on from there. It ain't
absolutely
that hard. Don't compete against the big guys. Stop trying to be a millionaire. You know, just make your little income and continue to grow. It's hard when you're listening to others.
Yes.
That's right.
Never listen to people who discourage you. Well, hold that thought for a second because we're going to come back to you. We're going to bring in our host, Zoe Ma, international businesswoman. And if you're watching online, of course, you're watching our Facebook or YouTube channel. We've got our Prosperity Partners page up on the Female Solution website, and just go to thefemalesolution.com and go to Prosperity, because we want you to also benefit from the selling of our products. And you simply send the link to the products page as a text from your cell phone to others, friends, family members, coworkers, et cetera, and get paid 20% of the sale price from each item they buy. Of course, that 20% is after expenses. And you type as a text message www.thefemalesolution.com/products and type in your rep number, which is your phone number, and send the text to the people and encourage them to buy. Of course, you get paid when they buy. And we send you, you just fill out this form. You can send us your Zelle number. We can send you payments, and you get paid what's called passive income, which means you don't have to do anything, and other people are exchanging money, and you're getting paid in the process. And you also get paid when businesses advertise on the Female Solution. Same thing. Send a link to the advertising page for the Female Solution Global Radio TV show as a text from your cell phone to your friends and business, and get paid 20% of the advertising cost of the ad program they buy. Type as a text. The ad company, www.themediaconnectionproductionco.com/advertising. Type in your rep number, which is your phone number, and send the text to people and encourage them to buy. Payments to our Prosperity Partners are issued through Zelle every Sunday for payments received by 5 p.m. on the preceding Friday. Just fill out the form below, and here it is right here. So simple. We want to share the revenue, share the prosperity, and encourage people to participate in this new economy where people are getting paid because they are part of the process of buying and selling. That is the new economy. That is how you can prosper. And let's bring on our Thursday host to help you get ready for the new economy by figuring out how you can buy and sell products, whether it's in person or online, or just get paid when somebody else is buying and selling. And welcome, Zoe Ma.
Good morning.
Hey. Yes, good morning. Good morning.
Everyone.
Yes. And this is so exciting to be able to give people some good news. You know, people have been just complaining and complaining and complaining. Yesterday we had a very intense conversation about the migrant issue because everybody's afraid, people taking their jobs. And the thing about it, like you explained, the jobs that we're afraid other people are going to take, a lot of these things are going to be replaced by robotics, by machinery, by artificial intelligence. And so the things we're fighting over are things that don't even exist anymore. What have you observed even in seeing the boom in manufacturing in China and how China has really expanded globally because they're taking advantage of this new economy?
We are actually witnessing a transition into the third capitalism.
Mm.
We know the capitalism starts with industrialized revolution in England a few hundred years ago. And that lasts for several hundred years, up to almost the end of the 20th century.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the 20th century, you know, before that, it's called industrial capitalism, which is you have the manufacturing. That if someone produce something and that manufacturer has an employer and employee relationship.
Yeah.
And it was called the class struggle by the Karl Marx capitalist, you know, the communism. And then now I feel it's so ironic there's still less scholars so hang up on that theory. The class struggle between the employer and the employee. But that theory is already irrelevant.
Yeah.
Because China proves that the class struggle between the employer and employee is irrelevant in today's economy. And then after the whole globalization actually ushered in the end of industrial capitalism.
Yeah.
The reason of globalization is the Wall Street wants to relocate all the manufacturers into China to Asia. So what they can do is profit from the intellectual property, how to make the product. They don't care who makes the product. They just want to make money from how the intellectual property of how the product is being made. So now you hear about China is stealing the intellectual property. Hey, if you don't give the manufacturer to China, they will not steal their intellectual property because you tell them how to make them. And then you say, they steal it. Because that the Wall Street wants to find the enemy that what they did is they eliminate the employee altogether in the United States. And they make the employer into China. And that's why that was the financial capitalism. Just making money, not from manufacturers, but the ownership of intellectual property at the expense of the employees, the workers. So now you see the rapid amount of jobs. It's not China's fault. It was actually take two to handle. It's China and the Wall Street. They are the tango partners. And so now we are going to the third phase of techno-capitalism, basically the Amazon, the algorithm, the Google, Amazon, Facebook, TikTok, and Alibaba, and in China also have Tencent, all of those. The platform being sold. I was fascinated with this theory because, last week I had to drive to Wisconsin for my job for three, four hours. So I listened to this economist, former finance minister of Greece. And then, he's a leftist, and he is making a lot of sense. I really encourage you to listen to him. His name is Yanni. I will put the name on later. But that's the future. The war between China and the U.S. is nothing but a turf war. It's whose algorithm? Is Amazon or the Alibaba? That was the whole thing. But he was saying is this is the end of capitalism because the techno capitalism is actually another form of socialism that actually instead of the socialism and the capitalism, socialism and communism ends, it follows the demise of capitalism. Actually, the whole word go back to the servism. So what it means right now is technology conglomerate is destroying the manufacturers, destroying the employees, the labor, the working class. We all, because what the U.S. didn't realize when they outsourced the manufacturer base to China, China innovates over the manufactured technology that's transferred by the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
The whole process become outdated. In China, because there's a lot of people and then a lot of talent there, they figure out a way to upgrade the manufacturing technology, and they make it more efficient, so the products become higher quality and lower cost. You know, when I was in Cuba last summer, I was awed.
Wow.
How much solar panels in Haiti?
Mm.
Because, you know, using a solar panel, that's a high tech, you know, a product.
Yeah.
How can some impoverished country like Haiti using a solar panel to replace it, well, you know, as a standing for their electrical grid when the whole country is out of power?
Mm-hmm.
That's what China did for the world. Make a high-tech product so affordable and improve the quality of life for average people.
You know, I think that's one of the important things. If we can understand what the philosophy of business can be and should be, then we never have to fear another nation developing a better brand of something, because if the purpose is to make life better, then whoever comes up with the product, that's a good thing. And then we make it available for those who need it. That's what the world is supposed to be doing, to exchange ideas, products, and services so that life is better for everybody. And no one needs to live in poverty. Like you just mentioned, the people in Haiti, yes, they are struggling because they need electricity, and now they have a product that generates electricity, and it's affordable, and it's what's called clean energy coming from the sun. So it's benefiting people and making life better. So China is not an enemy because the country created a better brand of solar panels. We all need to be using solar energy. We need to evolve so that our use of energy is not depleting the Earth's resources, because we're all living on this Earth. So whoever has the inspiration to create something that's going to benefit everybody, that's a good thing. We just have to change the way we think about business. We keep thinking it's competition and you're going to take what I have and you're my enemy. No, we're all trading partners. If we can change our thoughts, then rather than us having our children spend 12 years learning useless information, preparing for an industrial economy that no longer exists, we can help them create solutions to problems. And they can be using that time to think and explore and travel and visit other places, see what people need, go to other places, see what other people are doing in terms of manufacturing and designing things, and come up with products that can benefit the world. That's what our education system needs to look like, not preparing people for a job that no longer exists or preparing them for factory work that's obsolete because it's going to be done by robots. We need to see the world as it's evolving and not as it was. Like you said, that time is gone, and it's not going to come back. So we got to live for the future, because the future is now.
Yeah, so how we adjust to the new reality, economic reality.
New reality.
You know what? It's a benefit for individual person because there's no more monopoly of resources. Like
right.
Before, you have a power company, they can cut your electricity. You will be, remember, your life will be
We don't need to, yes. That's right. That's right. How to sell you what they see your interests are. And we shouldn't be afraid of that reality, because this is how information is tracked. Your cell phone is a tracking device. Yes, it is. That's why there was, as you all may remember, a government program to make sure everybody had a cell phone, even if you have a government phone. It's a tracking device. It's a device to determine where you go, how much you spend, what your interests are. They want you to have access to the internet so they can see what things you're exploring, what are you researching, what are your interests, what are you buying. And so they can sell you things based on what your interests are. Don't be afraid of it. Just understand that that's what it is. And they don't have any power over you. They just want to know how they can sell you something. So
yes,
you have the same power to figure out how to sell people things.
Exactly. So basically, well, I want to talk about two things here. Is our data being collected, that we are the land for them to make money, but we don't get anything out of it. So we have to demand at one point that we should, you know, I remember 4 years ago when Andrew Yang running for the president 2020, he was saying data is the new oil. The gas, the petrol oil that make money, and we don't get a penny out of it. So some
I like that. Data is the new oil.
Because it's our data. It's ourselves, our identity that makes somebody else rich. We should
absolutely
get a share of that. That's one thing. Another thing is, well, we have the. Let's go back to the market.
Mm-hmm.
1,000 years ago, the market started before the capitalism, before the Industrial Revolution. That was the, you know, the when the agricultural society gets more developed, they have extra products, and they have the surplus, and they are trading. So is this market economy is as old as human history.
Yes.
Now is we are going back to that form. It is on a digital platform. Now we can use that to our advantage, because the surplus from the manufacturer out of China, mostly, you know, there are also other part of the world like Egypt and or Turkey. Actually, Turkey also I was in Turkey last Thanksgiving. I was
mm-hmm.
very impressed with Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
I just bring people to go to Turkey, Egypt, and China, the little Africa to see the marketplace. Everything people are actually benefiting from it. People in affecting their lives. We can
absolutely
do the same.
We can do the same.
Yeah. So the we are educating here is how we can benefit from today's new techno capitalism by the kind of product, you know how to match the product to the consumer. A matchmaker.
Techno-capitalism. I like that. Yes.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we're living. This is techno-capitalism. And there's nothing wrong with capitalism. All it is the basically the science of buying and selling. And nobody needs to... Matchmaking. I like that. Matchmaking. It's just matchmaking. What do you need? How do I get you what you need? It's just like if you're looking for a person, you know, what kind of person are you looking for? Let me find you somebody that fits you. Well, what kind of product do you need? Let me find you something that fits you. You're in real estate. People looking for a house. Well, let me find you a house that fits you. So simple. It's just matchmaking. So we don't need to be afraid of it. We don't need to see people who have mastered it as the enemy. All we need to do is look at our own skills and abilities and figure out how we fit in. Because, like you said, Zoe, the world has changed, and we are stuck on a model that no longer exists, and we're wasting our children's time having them in school for 12 years to fit into an industrial economy that does not exist. They're being prepared to go to factory work when there is no factory work that exists. They're being filled full of useless information that they can't use for anything. They can't create a product with it. They can't develop a service with it. They can't sell it. They can't do anything with all this useless information that they're being given that has no connection to their lives at all. And so they come out of school, 12th grade, frustrated, and then they're told to invest in a college education to learn more useless information that doesn't fit the new economy. And I'm not knocking in college education. I have one. You have one. It's great. And it expanded my mind. I made some great friends and developed a skill that I'm now using. But the fact of the matter is there's so many people that are going into industries that really don't have anything to do with. And so they say, I can't find a job. Well, what did you study? And what skill did you develop that is needed that people will pay you for? And if you can't come up with a skill that people need, then why did you learn those things? What was it for? And I'm not saying that college is useless. I'm just saying reevaluate what you want to give to the world in terms of a service or a product that you think people need. Spend your time learning about that. That's what your time should be spent on, because people aren't going to give you a job in the way that jobs were created before. And there's so many in-debt college educated, degreed people angry and frustrated because they got to pay those college loans back and they still can't find any employment in the area of their field, which was something that was obsolete when they started studying it anyway.
Yes, I have a friend who just told me her daughter went to University of Chicago to get a degree in archaeology, and then for $80,000 a year tuition, and when she graduated, she couldn't find a job. Now she went to New York for a marketing job for $50,000 a year. It's a common sense.
So this is what I would.
Education is an investment.
Yes, it's an investment.
You know, it's an investment. You want to see the cost. You have to do a cost analysis. What kind of job you can get after you graduate? Because right now I'm facing a kid going to college. Well, that's the thing we are talking about.
Yeah. What are you going to do with that knowledge?
You know, if this degree is necessary for what you want to do in the future.
Absolutely. We've got a caller. I thought I saw a caller on the line. Well, if you change your mind or you decide what you want to say, just hit one again, and we'll open your mic. We've got callers on the switchboard here, and, of course, we've got viewers watching us on Facebook and YouTube, feel free to write in your comments. We've got a comment from Beata, our Friday morning host. It says, Grand Rising, beautiful sisters, taking back our power and ownership is the 2024 agenda. Yes, that is the 2024 agenda. Taking back our power and ownership, because there isn't anybody that controls our future. And you know what I would say to college students that are or potential college students, if you want to major in archaeology, that's fine. But first, before you spend any money, find an archaeologist that needs somebody who's going to do research and is going to help them in their archaeological pursuits. Find them, get an internship with them, and get an agreement that you're going to go to school so that you're going to develop the skills that they need, so when you get out, you're going to work for them. Have that job already lined up so that you're learning the things that can help in that area of your interest. There's nothing wrong with being interested in archaeology. But if you're interested in it and you don't know any archaeologists that are trying to hire you, then you're playing what? You're gambling. You're gambling with your future, because you have no idea who needs what it is that you know. Who needs your knowledge that you spent how many thousands of dollars and how many years learning? So I would urge every high school student who is considering college, decide what you want to do, and then find the person that you want to work with. Again, matchmaking. Okay, if you want to be in, say, radio, TV, and that's what we're teaching our students at Betty Shabazz. So next week we're going to have somebody in the radio business that's going to talk to them, be one of their guests, explain to them how the business of radio and TV, so that they can visualize themselves in that position. They can get set up now with internships, learning the business. We know Oprah Winfrey, I think she was, 19 when she first entered television, because she won some kind of contest, and then she got the job at a radio station. Look at her now. She has her own network. So this is what happens when you plan your life based on what you want to do with your life. Don't just invest money haphazardly in a college education hoping somebody gives you a job. Get the job before you invest in the college education. Work in the field that you're interested in with somebody who needs your services. And then when you go to college, you're getting training that you know is needed, and you know where you're going to provide that training when you leave college. So you are not just shooting in the dark. You have a plan. You have a future, and you're developing your skills for that future. That's intelligent. Do not just go to college and spend all that money to learn some things and hope somebody employs you. You're going to be disappointed.
And like I said, the college in America especially is an investment. So because you're going to debt, you want to consider if it's a good debt or a bad debt.
Yes.
You know, the good debt is like, see, if you get a mortgage and then buy a house, you get a mortgage loan. But you know in a few years the house is going to be appreciated. So that debt is good debt. But
right.
When you buy a car, and then as soon as you take the car off the dealership, the car depreciates, the car loan is a bad debt.
Mm.
So you have to depreciate, you know, decide if the college, when you actually, the degree will, when you graduate, it will pay you good money. Yeah, you can do that. But if the degree, when you get out of graduate, doesn't give you any employment opportunity, forget about it.
It's a bad debt. Yes,
absolutely. If she has ever been to college, did she go to college?
Well, you know, and I opened the mic for 813. We're going to come in just a second. But she tells a story about how she was in college and she was given a chance to go and work at a radio station. And she was like, well, no, because I got to go to college. And I think she said one of her college professors said, what's wrong with you? Why are you spending money paying to do something when people are offering you the job already to go and do it? That's what you're going to college for. What's the matter with you? You know? So the whole thing is, why would you go to college to get a job when people are offering you the job right now? So, no, she didn't have to spend, 4 years getting the bachelor's and then another 4 years getting the master's and then another 4 years getting the doctorate. She was in the business at 19. She started working her career then, and she has never looked back. She was in radio, and then she was in TV, and then she had her own show, and then she developed her she owned her own show. She learned how to get the ownership of her own production. She created a production company. She created her own network. So if you have a vision of what you want to do, nobody can control whether or not you get a job. Create. That's what we're here for. So learn from that. College does not, if you're taking time to go to college instead of working in the field that you're interested in, you're working backwards. So before we take a break, let me go to our phone line, area code 813-646 Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment for Zoe.
Yeah, Grand Rising, L.A., Central Florida.
Hey!
Just real some quick bullet points on this, probably to, so people can see a broader part of the landscape on this. Mainstream education, no matter where you go, public or private, basically provides you with indoctrination, which they call education, to work for other people. So you can take that where you want to. Next thing is, I would suggest that everybody go online and put in into the search engine map of Mexico in 1790, the year 1790, 1790 or 1795. Look at the map of Mexico, and if you look at the how big Mexico was in 1790, you'll see that if you translate it to today, that's about Mexico at that time was about 70% of the landmass of what we now call the United States. Now, what's happened between 1790 and today is Mexico was basically through the what we now call the United States, gentrified to where it is now by immigrants. Now, and I mean this in a positive way, all kind of immigrants, including immigrants from Africa, that were basically the common denominators. They were all capitalist. And they were looking for free enterprise opportunities. And that's how Mexico got whittled down to what it is today. So it's still happening today. We still are a country of immigrants. The ones that come in with a fresh new set of eyes and they can see opportunities that are sitting right in front of most people that have been here, but for some reason, for instance, like where I'm at right now, I'm in between like, Kofi mentioned it, this podcast, family businesses. I'm in between four carry-out Chinese food businesses, which average over $1,100,000 a year. That's the average intake on a regular Chinese takeout carry-out in the United States. So there is a lot of opportunities here, but we need to stop looking at what other people do, and then you'll find opportunities that you can take advantage of right where you stand. So I'll land my plane on that.
Well, thank you so much, L.A. You know, yesterday, L.A., I mentioned the story that you told on your podcast, the man who was so distraught because this boarded up house that had been sitting on their block for years and years and years, one day speaking people came with their contractors, you know, their roofers, their construction people, their painters, their carpenters, and remodeled that house in the space of one day. The next day it was a whole new house. And this man was telling the story, and he was so distraught that the people who lived there just never thought to do it, never organized the workforce to do it. But there it was. These people came in, refurbished that house, could rent it out now or sell it or whatever. But it had been sitting there boarded up, dilapidated all those years, and the people living on that block, the people living in that community, nobody did anything. there it was. Some people came from outside and refurbished that home. And he just felt so bad that the people in the community didn't have the vision to do it and didn't have the wherewithal to pull together the workforce to do it when it could have been done at any point in time. So
correct.
That's what we're talking about today. That there's nothing stopping anybody from doing anything. We get stuck on, well, these people won't give us this, these people won't let us that. Nobody stops you from doing anything. Just do it. These people just did it. So, yeah, I was telling that story yesterday, I think, as we were talking about the whole migrant issue and fear of somebody taking your job and all of that. There's no job.
Well, you got to create. You got to create your own.
You got to create your own, and nobody's stopping you from creating your own. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, LA. We always appreciate your insight. And tell us again about when we can watch your show or see your show or hear your show.
The podcast, which we've been on for 10 consecutive years now, it started off titled It's My House, but we've grown, so we've changed the name some months ago called DIY Shacks, which stands for Build It Yourself. Build it yourself.
I like that. Build it yourself.
And we call it Shacks because I discovered that 25% of the planet does not participate in the banking system. They do not get 30-year mortgages. They don't get any mortgages. They just build their houses themselves, and they live debt-free. So that's our new name, DIY Shacks. That's on 10:30 a.m. Monday through Friday, Eastern Standard Time, and that number is 619-768-2945. And I listen to this program, the Female Solution, for about a good three to six months before I started my podcast. I studied what you were doing. So thank you for having your show. So, I don't know how many years you've been on, but I've been on 10. And you've been on longer than me.
I've been on 12. Since 2012. Yeah, we started in 2012. That's 12 years. 12 years.
Well,
yes.
Congratulations on that.
And congratulations to you. And let me hear that phone number again. Give us that number again.
Yeah, it's 619-768-2945. Yeah, and DIY Shacks, which means build it yourself. If you learn how to build something yourself, you can save a whole bunch of money, including building yourself like you've been talking about solar. Just one last comment. There's a lady, Angela Sledeck, out of Germany, the Black Forest here in Schwarzwald. Her and her husband started, they put the local electrical grid out of business. Their village used to be powered by nuclear energy, and they didn't want another Chernobyl happen. So it took them a matter of years, but they bought out the local power company, and they just started in a pub, a neighborhood pub, a village pub in Germany. They started educating their neighbors. I'll send you the link later today, the video off of YouTube. Anyway, their village started their own solar power company, which takes in over €100 million a year.
Wow.
We're talking about people that live in a village.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I'll send that video to you later today.
All right. I'll be looking for it. Thank you so much, L.A. Davis from Central Florida. Yeah, we got to take a break, and we'll come back. You know, and I do have solar panels on my home, and in a few more years, they'll be paid off. I will own my own electric company because I will be producing my own electricity, and this is the wave of the future to become self-sufficient, and we're going to find ways to have everything in the house electric and then maybe add some more panels so that all of our electricity is provided for by our solar panels. And we're looking at all kinds of things, building solar farm and everything else, because this is the future. And if, like you just said, though, the big power companies, they don't have the power anymore because people are using other kinds of energy. People are creating other means of generating energy. And so all of this is going to change, and we have a chance to be a part of it. So we'll be right back after this quick break. We want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just one moment, so stay with us.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet you.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
Hi, I'm Naima. And if you're one of the guests, that means you're one of the 4.6 billion people from around the world using an electronic device to talk to people. In these times, people are using the internet to talk to everyone. Friends, neighbors, family members, co-workers. People are on their cell phones and computers all day long. Now, if you're in business, that is great news. That means you can sell your products and services all day long and never have to leave your home. All you need is a medium. Somebody to connect you to an audience. And that's why I'm talking to you today. We produce programs. Our audience members are people who shop. They buy clothes, food, beauty supplies, cleaning supplies, home repair, transportation service, child care service. Whatever you're selling, they need to buy. We're your media. Follow this link. And tomorrow, you can sit back and relax your hands.
And your business can be making you money right now.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show, and today is the day we shop with Zoe. So, you know, I think this is really a chance for some people to get out of their thinking that their future is depending on somebody else's decision. If we can help you all do anything today, we want to shake loose that thought that other people's decisions determine whether or not you prosper. They don't. I mean, look at all things like, Zoe, you just mentioned the reality of information being the new oil, the new commodity that is going to bring prosperity. If you can figure out what people need and how to sell it to them, you can make money. That's all the economy is about. It's all it's ever been.
Yeah, I think, I told you earlier, you know, I have been a real estate agent for about 20 years. And then, so, I was so good at it. It took me my last year.
Wow.
Because, you know, as a real estate agent, it to me is a matchmaking. You
that's
know
what
the top line the home buyer wants? And you do your research with all the information of how listing it, you find the one that matches that person. And then it takes, like, yeah, it took me like less than 24 hours of work, find the listing, negotiate the price, you know, write out a contract. So I'm really, and that, to me, that skill is called matchmaking. You actually find a basic listing. You actually do value adding. If the listing is on the website, it means nothing. But when you have, you put your insight to the listing and explain to your home buyer why this product, this listing, this home is the right match for him. When you improve your skill of matchmaking, you close the deal and make the money. And so to me that was just, I didn't want to work too much. One deal is enough. So that whole year I just put a deal and then I'm done. Of course, the real estate is a little bit different. You in America, everything.
Somebody that wants to control what you do. So real estate. You know, there are ways to get around getting a license, but as you've discovered,
the license is very strict.
Okay? Yeah, it's very, very strict.
But we can always find something neat, something small, and then, you know, Amazon, what Amazon's good at, nice to make it.
Yes, what do people need?
They actually push you all the things you might like.
Yeah.
So you may buy it. So the whole point is matchmaking.
Right.
It's not in your shopping habit.
Toilet and you have guests coming over. You know what a horrifying situation that is. You got to get that toilet fixed now. And you may not have time. You'll call in the plumber and then they got to schedule for next week. And you got a dinner party today. You need to blast that toilet clean.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then, you know what? This is something that, like I said, it's easy to sell. Everybody has a toilet, you know, have a bathroom, and a lot of times you have this issue.
Yes.
And so you can just sell this, and then you have your own little business. Remember we have the toilet seat warmer?
Yes.
And this one, so you have a little store now selling two products for the bathroom. And you can go to almost every household and sell it.
Yes, absolutely.
You develop the kind of relationship. with your friends and family that you always have, you kind of know what they need. And you are matching a product that you select and with your friends and family. And that's what Amazon's doing that. And that's Amazon is making money on that. And why don't you do it the same?
Absolutely. You know, and the thing about it, when you look at how Amazon sells to you, like if you ever go to a place, if you ever go and you buy, say, you know, you might be buying a gift for somebody who had a baby and you go and buy a baby blanket. Next thing you know, they'll be sending you all kind of advertisements about baby products because they figured out, oh, okay, somebody in your life has a baby, so you need baby products. And they're going to send you products about bottles and you know, baby blankets, and we're going to send you diapers, all kinds of things. They're going to send you advertisements because they know that you bought a product that indicates somebody in your life has a baby. That means you're going to need more baby products. So that's all they're doing is just seeing what you need. Like you say, matchmaking. What do you need? If you buy certain hair products, well, then you're going to all of a sudden start getting on your phone, you know, advertisements for hair products or, you know, beauty products. I mean, they will basically observe what you are interested in and try to match you with another product that you will buy. That is the simplest way to get paid. So, like you're saying, anybody can do that.
You don't need to go to college for that.
You
don't need to go to college for that.
Yes. Yes.
That's how you make a friend. To match yourself with the people you like.
Yes.
We are social animals. We are born with it. And so use that skill to improve, make a living. You know, one thing I feel very sad yesterday, you know, in the past few days, I watched a lot of podcasts, and I subscribed a lot of podcasts by black YouTubers.
Mm.
And then one guy said something and made me feel really sad. And he said, you know, my interest, women and sports.
Wow.
And I say, so miss a living
mm-hmm.
is not part of your interest. Only women and sports.
Wow.
And I think that guy was 25, 30 years old. And he's still like, it was normal. To me, that was a teenager thinking. The sports and the women, that's for teenagers. I mean, for a man like 25 years old and above, you should have felt shamed that.
Well, now.
The problem in the community that you are still living as a teenager, have no responsibility of make a living to improve yourself, take a responsibility as an adult.
So now, if his interest is women in sports, then he needs to figure out how what he does or what his interests are can, like you say, earn him a living. If all he does is watch sports on TV and look at the women and be broke, well, then he's not thinking. But if you're interested in women, okay, fine. What is it that women need that you could supply? Would you sell women's clothing or would you sell women perfumes, or would you sell women's shoes? I mean, what would bring you into the presence of women in a way that you could get paid? Or you like sports? Okay, would you be a sportscaster? Would you be a person who's into sports medicine? I mean,
he has no interest to build himself financially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can build himself financially. He can do, you know, build a business. That would be one of his interests. But to me, as somebody 25 or older, still do not have put a priority spending through ownership or have a job or something dedicated to. It means his dedication is womanizing and sports.
So what creates that kind of a person where they are a passive observer in life and not a participant in the creation of life to make it better for themselves and others? What happens to make a person passive like that, where they just wait for things to happen? What is that saying? There are three kinds of people: those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. So, so what happens that makes a person so passive that they can do nothing but watch the world go by and not be a creative participant in it?
Those people destroy the community. Those people who are old and older still think they are proud of themselves and have two interests in life. It's womanizing and watching sports. That's actually the type of man that destroys the community. Because womanizing, you hurt some woman.
Mm-hmm.
You're not committed to another woman. And then you, if you don't build a family.
You're not building a family, not building a community. Right.
You're still living a life like a teenager. When you don't have money, what you do, go out rough.
So now the question is, what creates that mind? Because I've seen a lot of people who emotionally, they never evolve past, say, 16, 15, 14 years old. They didn't evolve into a responsible adulthood. And, you know, and I talk about this in my book, The Female Solution, which of course evolved into this show. But one of the things that happens when you don't have an example of what it looks like to evolve into a responsible adulthood, if you don't have anybody in your life that's showing you the stages of taking responsibility for your life, creating a means to take care of others, developing your skills and intelligence, and learning the rules of the world that you live in so that you can be a productive contributor, if you don't have anybody showing you what that looks like, then you don't evolve past a dependent teenage mind. You just don't. And there have been people who maybe they've had their life disrupted by a family breakup, maybe, and they didn't have that household nurturing, you know, maybe they had one parent that had to work all the time, stuck them in daycare or whatever. They didn't learn some very basic social skills. Maybe they had a disruptive situation. Maybe a parent went to prison and wasn't there. Maybe they had a parent that was on drugs and couldn't
and
function.
It's society at home.
And
society as a whole is American culture.
Well, what happens when a family falls apart, if you don't have other people in the community or your extended family or whatever to step in and help to continue to raise that child will not develop into a responsible adult. It has to, you have to help.
I think because America, the culture is not about self-sufficiency, okay? They need you have
dependency.
Because in China, I saw the little video, there's single parents everywhere. It's not China to have single parents in the household. You know, the mom, because there's no safety net handout, welfare, okay? So what happens is the mother has to drag this, you know, six-year-old out in a setting food store. You know, they sell street food on the street corner.
Mm-hmm.
The kids witness the mom working hard, standing, you know, just in a food truck in the street corner. That's the education. And in America, because you are trained to be employed, the salary is slave. To me, America is they are trained people to be salaried slaves. They don't train you to give it the initiative so you can make your own decision, make your own living. You are waiting for, looking for some job, looking for employment. And you can't find that employment, and just sit around the passive. Then you stop and so you. America has so many barriers for self-employment. It's unbelievable. Like you can't have a food truck.
Well, this is one thing that I observed the last time I went to South Korea, And I've been going there the last several years for the Global Peace Conference hosted by HWPL, which is the Global Peace Organization. And the last time I went, I observed that people would take their truck. I mean, you could just have a regular truck, but they would turn it into a mobile store, and they would be selling food out of their store. And they might, it might be a regular kind of a vehicle, a regular truck or van or whatever, but they made it into a mobile store, and they sold products, whether it was food products or whatever, you know, clothing, whatever it was, but they were making money from their mobile store. And it's almost like every corner you see, you know, a store. So you didn't have to pay rent on this big storefront kind of thing. I don't know what the, you know, whatever licensing requirements they are, but it was obviously made easy for people to sell things. Here, sometimes they put obstacles in your way, you know, because some people would be selling things on, say, on public transportation. Well, I think they outlawed that. Okay, this is how some people are making their living. And
yeah,
then...
You know, even one that was in Turkey. You know, you have the underpass.
Mm-hmm.
They have stores right in
yes.
The underpass and the overpass.
Yes. Yeah, I was... Yes.
Unless you,
I mean, they had, as a matter of fact, I remember there was a conflict. This is the reason why we elected when I was living in the Fifth Ward and of Chicago, and the current alderman, she was having people who were trying to make money on the street selling things, and the business owners, the people with the stores, they were complaining. So she would have them arrested if they were outside trying to sell, you know, just little inexpensive things, hats, scarves, gloves, you know, socks. Because, I mean, that's how they feed their family. And they didn't have money to pay rent in a storefront. So the people with the storefronts were saying, well, these people are disrupting my business. They're standing outside my store, and they're selling. I pay rent, and they don't. So she was shooing them off the street, and we were trying to get her to, well, at least find a way to let these people get licensed so they can sell, because this is how they feed their families. And she was like, no, they don't have a business. Get off the street. So, I mean, we organized to support another alderman in that position who was more sensitive to the needs of street vendors, because you have to have a government that freely make money. This will be free enterprise. So when you restrict people, or you treat somebody like they're a bum because they're trying to sell something, but then someone else, you treat them well and they're doing the same thing, that's not right. Everybody should have the right to sell products that are legal, that are helpful. If you're selling socks in the wintertime and people need socks, why is that a crime? People who manufacture socks, they need people out there selling socks to people who need socks. So everybody might not go to a store, but they might sell them on the public transportation. They're riding to work. So I didn't see a problem with that, but you're right. They've made it difficult for people to sell things here. Because the city wants to get paid for you to buy a business license. I understand that. And, you know, just all the different things that people need. You know, you got to register your business and so forth. So, you know,
Minister
Rashida,
Robert Floyd Plump.
The fact that people were trying to be made it difficult because they didn't necessarily have money for all the licenses. But how do you get started from scratch if you have nothing? And this is what a lot of the conflict is. And I'm going to ask people to mute your phone so that you don't have background sound. Please mute until we call you. Please mute your phone. You're on the on-air network. Please use your phone. And one of the things that we can do is to encourage more entrepreneurship by making it possible for people who don't have a lot of money to be able to have places where they can sell. And sometimes, you know, you have different events that people will be a vendor and so forth. Even those things, you know, don't charge such a high price that people can't even make a profit. Make it possible for people to earn a living. Many people are putting their children through school with and putting food on their table every day by the little products that they're able to sell as street vendors. So we need to respect those that are trying to make a living selling things that are legal and wholesome and helpful.
And then I was just like, the new technology, the social media, it's the new marketplace. You do not need to stand in the street corner, okay? And you can compete with the store owner now because everything
yes.
is on social media.
Yes.
So now we have to promote that. You can't do that. If before you didn't have the opportunity because the city are about the physical retailing on the street corner, but you can do it on the phone. You can
yes.
Tell yes. the neighbors that you are selling things and tell them. So now we need to actually educate our young people that you are not no longer sweet 16. Okay? The girls and sports are for 16-year-olds.
Yeah. you need to grow up. But you know what? It is so easy because like I mentioned before, I watched my daughter. She was between jobs, and she created an online business on Instagram, and she was selling products. And then she, you know, she'd go and buy the products wholesale and then sell them online. And, you know, she took a picture of it, posted it, and put a price on it and had an account set up with you, with the post office. They pick up the packages and deliver them. I mean, she just, I'm like, okay. She didn't miss a beat during the time in between jobs. She had a business. And
just learn from you, but, you know, we need to have more help to the family that, you know, single mothers who work on 2 or 3 jobs, that they don't have a time to tell their kids who can do that. I mean,
right.
I think yesterday they were saying, oh, you know, people should get jobs. They need to work 2 or 3 jobs. No.
No, you don't.
And
no.
The
right.
The social problem.
Right.
For me, you know, I basically quit my job when my son was born. I never had a job ever since. Because to me, my time with him is more important than go out and get a job. I will figure out. I'm not soon in line to find a job. I'm going to just work here and there so I can be available. Just one job. You know, and I lower my, you know, expenses. And then just live in a very simple life. And to me, spend time with the kids when up to their 18 is more important than make another, you know, minimum wage job. It means nothing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I think with the social media, like that's what I mean, the techno capitalism is actually give us the opportunity. We can all be macro Amazon.
Yes, and that's an important thing for people to realize. You have this cell phone. This is your mobile store. You can be selling all day long on your cell phone because people are buying. People are ordering products all day long on their cell phone. So it doesn't matter what your race is, doesn't matter what your gender is, doesn't even matter what your age is. You can be in business right now. And you will find every now and then, you know, you'll see some young person saying, oh, I made $1 million and, you know, on my phone. And you think, but yeah, if you just learn how to work a basic cell phone, you can create a business online and be making money in your sleep. We say it all the time. It's possible. Just if you're matchmaking, what do you need? Let me get it for you. That's all business is. That's all it's ever been, ever need to be afraid to be in business. It's just matchmaking. I'm giving you what you need. I mean, the people who sell illegal drugs, they're doing the same thing. Okay, you're in distress. Let me give you something that's going to make you feel better. That's all they're doing. So, you know, it's the same concept. And I think it was Joel Osteen that was telling a young man who'd gone to prison for selling drugs. He said, if you can sell drugs, you can sell real estate. And he's right. It's the same thing. You know, you can sell insurance. I mean, you can sell something that's legal, same as you can sell something that's illegal, because it's the same process, giving people what they want, giving people what they need, giving people what they're looking for. You're just matchmaking. It's the same thing. so for our young people who aren't seeing success in their communities because so many people are sitting around unemployed and not figuring out how all they got to do is just sell something, they need to see how easy it is in today's economy. Just use your cell phone. You don't even have to have a website. You can do it on your Facebook page. You can do it on your Instagram page. And you can be making money, and it's so simple. Just sell people what it is that they're looking to buy. That's all Amazon is doing. So we have for those who are watching us on Facebook and YouTube, we have our products page up on the femalesolution.com website, and you can order our handy expanding travel bag, our Breathe Better Bang Lang Chong tea, right? And a Heine warmer for your bathroom. And of course, we've also still kind of cold outside, and you may also want the fancy foot warmer. You can also use them as hand warmers. And then also we want you to get the toilet blaster, which is a product that you will definitely need if you've suddenly got a problem with your toilet that you need fixed right away and you don't have time to wait for that plumber, because you got to have that toilet in shape right now. And here it is. And of course, you can go on our website and order. And you can go to our Prosperity Partners page and get paid from others who order. Your recommendation, they buy the product, we pay you a percentage as well. So we want to share the prosperity.
Yeah, I think yesterday we were talking about the new migrant crisis in Chicago. You know, I signed up many podcasts by Black Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, because I'm a new immigrant, I'm a first generation immigrant. But nobody gave us a free handout. Okay, we have the work for it, and then we already have existing homeless population that they needed resources, and for the city and the governor, just all of a sudden they've been for years. They say there are no housing for our own homeless population, especially in the South Side, West Side. All of a sudden, now they have all the money now.
They had it all along. Yeah.
The face of Chicago people.
Yes, and there's a lot of anger about that.
I mean, I'm totally on the side of the residents on the south side and north side, the south side and west side, because those communities already lack resources. Why don't they put it in the North Shore? Why do they have to put all the people to put the poor people in the poor community?
It's a recipe for disaster, isn't it? Because you're going to have two groups of people that are both feeling desperate and feeling like they don't have enough, and that's the mindset that makes people steal, and that's what they're creating.
I think the worst thing is when I see in near Obama Library. I think a few years ago I went to the neighborhood in the Obama Library. You know what I find is very disturbing to me is so many public housing in that neighborhood. And you actually put all the poor people together, and none of them have the purchasing power to support a business.
Yeah.
And then you actually drain the resources in the neighborhood. But the housing should be in the wealthy neighborhood. You need to be mixed income, mixed in the neighborhood.
You have to create, and one of the things that when they first announced that they were going to have the Obama Library there in the Hyde Park area, and Leon's Barbecue, it had closed down, and he decided to reopen, and anticipating that there's going to be greater traffic. Now, if people come and buy a lot of barbecue and all that, that could be an income generator. One store can attract other stores. So you might have some other restaurants that come in there. You might have some other kinds of stores that take advantage of that traffic, maybe. But you have to have something that brings in people to bring money so that the money can circulate. And if you have nothing, like you say, then there's nothing to support industry if you don't have something generating population that's bringing in money. So all of these things have an impact as to whether or not a neighborhood flourishes. And we've got a statement from our Monday morning mindfulness host, Zelda, says, Grand Rising, beautiful queen teachers, I smell the aroma of entrepreneurs watching. Yes, absolutely. We're encouraging people to be in business. And she says mobile businesses are growing. Even Shoeshine Trucks in Atlanta has several trucks now. That's right. I mean, if you can figure out how to take your vehicle and make some money from it, you will never be broke. And even whoever came up with Uber and Lyft, okay, yeah, we had cab drivers, but, you know, it just, what about the average person? I'm going to pay all that money to be able to get the cab license and all that. Can a regular person just drive you, and can you make it safe? So people figuring it out. Okay, well, you can get to know who they are online because, you know, we're all connected by the Internet. So you can know who the driver is. The driver can know who the passenger is. There's an element of safety. And then there's no money exchange because it's all electronic banking. So this was brilliant. This is how you take an existing system and make it work. And that was brilliant. And so now you have so many people who are helping people get to where they have to go, and they're just regular people, and they're doing it part-time, full-time, whatever, but all you need is a vehicle. And sometimes you don't have a vehicle. You can rent a car and drive Uber or Lyft and have a car and have a business. So it just takes some intelligence, some ingenuity, some creativity. We can create the businesses based on matchmaking. Give people what they need. I don't have a car. I need to get someplace in a hurry. Let me call my Uber person. Let me call my Lyft driver. And there you are. So it's simple. It's so simple. So let's think of some other businesses that fulfill a need, because nobody needs to be broke. And we got to take one last break. And I know we got some callers on the line. I'm going to open your mic after this quick break. We want you to stick and stay. Shop with Zoe. You can blast the toilet clean and get ready for the new economy. Go to thefemalesolution.com, order your product, and fill out that prosperity partnership agreement so that you can get paid for helping other people get what they need. We'll be right back, so stay with us.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
Hi.
I'm Lizzie. And if you're watching this, that means you're one of the 4.6 billion people from around the world who are using an electronic device to talk to people. In these times, people are using the Internet to talk to everybody. Friends, neighbors, family members, co-workers. People are on their cell phones and computers all day long. Now, if you're in business, that is great news. That means you can sell your products and services all day long and never have to leave your home. All you need is a media connection, somebody to connect you to an audience. And that's why I'm talking to you today. We produce programs. It's our audience members are people who shop. They buy clothes, food, beauty supplies, cleaning supplies, home repair, transportation services, child care services. Whatever you're selling, they need to buy.
Rashida Ali.
Your media connection. So this week, and tomorrow, you can sit back and relax your goals while your business is making
We are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Latif, and I believe we've got Zoe Ma, and we want you to shop with Zoe. We got some callers on the line.
Hello.
That we I believe we have Rashida Ali on the line.
Hi, my name Mama Norma from 841 East 79th Street. I'm supposed to meet you today with Minister Plum.
Okay.
But I won't able to make it this morning. I won't able to make it, so I just called to let you know. I won't able to make it. I will be at the shop later today. So you can please call me at 773-723-5927. I have a stomachache and I won't able to make it this morning.
Hope you're feeling better. We certainly do hope you feel better later on. Drink plenty of room temperature water, not cold water for a stomachache. Room temperature water is helpful. Also tea be helpful. Want you to feel better, so get some rest, and we will talk to you again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, I can't wait to meet you, so that's pretty soon. But right now, you know, I didn't even sleep last night. My stomach was so bad, so I won't
hear
even.
Hear that.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
So please let Minister Plump know, because I'm looking for his number in my bag. I have it at the shop.
Please let me know. Well, thank you so very much for calling. And you have a great day, ma'am. Take care of yourself. Feel better.
Thank you. My phone is acting up, so I'm sorry. So thank you again. All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Bye bye.
Thanks.
All righty. And let's see, I believe we've got Rashida Ali on the line.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm here.
Thank you so much for calling us. We appreciate you.
You were talking about entrepreneurship and vending. Norma, the lady who just called, she's a pioneer, a senior, and she has a West Indies bakery on 79th and Cottage Grove. Unfortunately, she and I are in the same boat as entrepreneurs. She's been there for 40 years, and one of the Black Caucus members owned the building and didn't pay water bill. Water bill is $64,000. And she's under a lot of duress trying to survive in her 40-year-old bakery. So we're drumming up support to help her. Me, grassroots organization founder, is putting on the GoFundMe page, a GoFundMe to help her. She goes to court on the 11th of March. She's 82 years old, still functioning in her business. She has her license. She's passed inspection. But the water bill is $64,000, and she's under my duress. So we're fundraising to help her as well as me helping myself with grassroots organization as an independent service contractor. So just wanted to let you know if we're fundraising, like people sell commodities, we're fundraising for issues for development as developers in the community. So if you could find in your heart to support these two minority women entrepreneurs, we would be very grateful, okay?
Now, when you say fundraising. Yeah, why does she have a $64,000 water bill? How did that happen?
That's because of a way the European political men are treating minority women in business. She's been paying him, so there's no reason why he shouldn't have paid the water bill. She had a business there for 40 years, so it's not like she didn't know she was there. It's just everybody seemed to have a disrespect for us. That's all I can say.
So I mean, this is definitely not making any sense. How did the water bill get that?
It sure didn't.
She doesn't own the building, though, right? Doesn't someone else own the building?
The one who's supposed to pay the water bill makes sense to me. The one who owns the building should pay the water bill. But
yeah, that sounds
like I said, disrespect for a black female entrepreneur. I know me, with my experience, I held all the plans for the federal buildings, and the broke got indicted 14 counts on one of my projects. So you know that's the way it is.
Don't
make sense. But they're crazy. I guess they think we are too.
Right. Yeah, that sounds like a lawsuit. It sounds like she probably either needs to talk to a lawyer if the alderman is not able to help, because sometimes aldermen's offices get overwhelmed and they don't always have the skills to know legally what her rights are. But she sounds like her rights are violated.
The other lady did turn the water on for her, and mm-hmm. we have a meeting Monday, the other woman. However, she goes to court on the 11th because they're talking about redemption. Now,
she's got to listen to this thought here. She's got to come out of victim mode of, these people are disrespecting me because I'm a black woman. She's got to come out of that mode. Like she doesn't have power, then she will present herself as if she doesn't have power when she, in fact, is a very powerful businesswoman. And we're actually out of time. I'm glad you're standing up, and we will definitely follow up on this. But,
yeah.
You know, this is one of the things that we keep saying. You know, she's created a wonderful business, and she has the power of that business behind her. Plus, she needs to coalesce with others in that same situation so that laws can change, so nobody would end up with a $64,000 water bill because somebody else that they rented from didn't pay the bill. So,
well, she's 82 years old, not helping her. If you all want to help her, you're welcome to come to a meeting today, okay? At
we got to go now, Rashida.
You can come if you want to help. Flourism. Bye-bye.
We got to go, Rashida. The show is going to be over in 20 seconds. But we do want to thank you all for bringing that to our attention. We want to empower our business people. And this is one last thing I want to say. Learn all you can about your rights as a business person, the power you have as a business person. Make sure that you have on your team when you go into business somebody who understands the laws, somebody who understands finance. They always say when you go into business, have an accountant, have a lawyer. If you're not one or don't have one in your family, have somebody who can look out for your legal rights before you get into trouble, because $64,000, you're in trouble, and you've been in trouble a long time if it's threatened to shut down your business. You've got to have your water. So, you know, moves should have been made a long time before it got to this point. And sometimes we go into business without enough legal advice to keep us from getting taken advantage of. And I think it's important for us to not be stuck on what other people's intentions are, but to know what our powers are so that we can always operate from a position of power and never of one of a victim or weakness, because we are powerful people with knowledge and skills and ability, and we just need to know that so that we can step forward in our power. Like Mama Joy always says, walk in your authority. Know that you have the backing of the business community to do what you need to do so that this will never happen to anybody else. That's what I have to
That's
say.
That's right. So our sister Naima?
Yes, we must go. But last word, Minister Plump?
Yes, that's at West Indies Bakery Incorporation at 841 East 79th Street today at 1 o'clock. And for more information, call Mama Nora Stephenson at 773-723-5927. Thank you. God bless you. We love you.
We love
Keep
you.
Up the good work. And for all the entrepreneurs, they are 23 superstars, just like you and me. God bless you. We love you, Norma. Sister Naima, you a baby Oprah Winfrey.
Well,
amen.
I miss Oprah, but, you know, we're all who we are, and we all do what we do because we all have a calling, so let's do our best. Thank you.
Thank
Minister.
You.
So
God bless your heart.
God bless you. And you know, this is a thing, and I want us to be able to see the world differently. And when we can see things differently, we can make different decisions. There is a way to proceed with everything. And so often we look at things from the point of view of who doesn't like me, who's trying to hurt me, who's discriminating against me. And most decisions are made based on people's desire for money. And it doesn't matter whether people like you personally or they're prejudiced against you or whatever it is. If they do something that's unscrupulous because they're trying to get paid, that's a reflection of ethics. It has nothing to do with your power as a human being. So what's your step forward with the new economy? It's an ethical way of doing business so that what we provide is to help life get better for all who enjoy our products and services. We're here to serve. That's the mindset that we have to go into it. And for people who want to be in business, they need to take the time to study
the laws, just like you talked about, Zoe, being in real estate. You know, study the laws, get the license, do it right, and do it ethically. That's all that's necessary. If you do things right and do things ethically, then even if somebody comes along who is unethical, you can catch it in enough time before you get in trouble. And you can form coalitions with people who want things to be done right. There are more people who are trying to do right than are trying to do wrong. So we need to find each other and be empowered with that knowledge that there are more people trying to do things right than trying to do things wrong. And when we can see the world that way, then we don't go into a situation with anger, hostility, suspicion, and conflict. We go in to resolve a problem. Because what we're doing, we're matchmaking. What do you need? What do I need? Let me give you what you need. Let you give me what I need, and everybody's happy. And that's how the world is doing business. That's why we're here, to help facilitate that new thought in this new economy. So last words of wisdom, Miss Zoe, before we go.
Well, so like it's a new time for us. It's a new economy, and it's a historic right now. So we can take advantage of this historic moment that we can all become Amazon and just by our own skills, the matchmaking that we are born with. We are social and we know how we make a friend, it's how we make customers. So I think that we can use this economy to reshape our life. We're going to reshape Chicago to our benefit from now on. So let's take advantage of this opportunity, this new dawn, a new time, that new opportunity for us.
Yes, let's take advantage of this new time and this new opportunity. Think about, what do people need? How can you give it to them? That's all business is. So become the entrepreneur that you are. Even if you do it part-time, whether you do it part-time or full-time, just do it sometime and make sure that you control the process of creating your way of life. And never feel that you are at the mercy of someone else. You are powerful beyond measure, and you have the power to create.
Absolutely.
Thank you all for joining us on this Thursday. And come on back tomorrow for Health and Well-Being with Beata. And we will see you then right here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. Until that time, continue to shine your light.
Yes. Hope Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangade. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all. Join us live on the on-air radio network. Call 727-731-5192. We want to talk to you.
Goodbye.